my name's Allison, and we're just setting up right now. We had some power issues, but we should be up and running soon. The song that I just played was a song called Thorns by the band Low Moon. They are one of the first bands to use the resonator, which is what we're going to be talking about over the next hour.
My back's not that healthy.
Alright. So here with me is Tara from the band I Speak Machine. Tara and I are neighbors, and we both live in Los Feliz, and we were brought together by proximity, but also by our love of one particular synth in common called the Resonator. The Resonator was a synthesizer from the 70s that my dad, Don Tablo, invented. It was the world's first digital instrument-controlled synthesizer. And it went away in the early 80s. It had a very brief run on the market. And then he passed away in 1988, the same year I was born, and then 25 years later, I got it out of my grandma's attic and decided it was worth looking into. And so I resurrected it and started what was supposed to just be like a very humble project of resurrecting this thing that I knew nothing about. I don't have a background in synthesizers, and I'm not a musician myself.
Do you know?
Yeah. I have a very specific background now. But it was interesting. I was just taking it out of my grandma's attic because I'd always known that it existed, but I didn't know what it was. And when I was in the attic, I was looking for a keyboard because I thought that that's what a synthesizer was. Mm-hmm. And so I found this like black box, and I found the man that originally engineered it with my dad. His name's Mike Beagle. He's the founder of Mutron. And he lived like 2 hours south of me in LA, so he and I worked together for about 9 months. He worked on it. I had nothing to do with the resurrection of it, but he was wonderful and really helped get it back to life. And then my mission from that point forward was just to figure out what exactly it was and what it was capable of. It's an instrument-controlled synthesizer, so guitarists really like it, vocalists really like it. We've tried trumpets, we've tried gaitas, we've tried, we've never done a violin, which I think would be really cool. Mm-hmm. But we've tracked drums through it.
It seems to really love drums.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when I met Tara and found out that she was in a synth band and she lived two doors from me, I was like, oh my God, this image made in heaven. She has this really beautiful 808 that just instantly worked so well with it. And so in a little while, we're gonna be doing a resonator, or she's gonna be doing a resonator demo with the 808. And then, because she has such a beautiful voice, I'm gonna be doing my vocal.
Might sing it.
Yeah, if it behaves, you never know, based on the day.
It's feeling good today, it's feeling great today.
But yeah, so the song that we just played was Low Moon. They're an up-and-coming band that I'm currently obsessed with, and they use the resonator on a couple of their tracks, but they're in the studio right now working on their second record, and I gave them the resonator to use because they just made such magic with it. And that's kind of been my mission, is just bringing it around to as many musicians as I can just to find out what people like about it, what they don't like about it, if there was a new version to come out on the market, what that might look like. So just doing a bunch of market research. And also, this thing lived in a box for 25 years, and I feel like it's my job now to make sure that it never goes back in the box. And it is such an outside-of-the-box instrument, too. So, I've been trying to reach out to everyone, you know, that I'm a fan of, that my dad was a fan of. And one of those people was Peter Gabriel, because I had found up in the attic, along with the resonator, there was a bunch of documents that I was taking quick photos of and just kind of scanning through everything, and I came across a document that said, had a really weird logo at the top called Psycho Systems. I'm like, that's cool, so I started reading it. It says that we're confirming the purchase of 3 units in 1980, and I was like, holy shit, there's more of these out here. And it was a UK-based letter, and then I kept reading, and then it says, among those people grasping, stabbing, and, you know, cutting for their first resonators, Peter Gabriel. So it took me like 3 years, but I got in touch with him. And he remembered the resonator from 1980. And I flew to London and I sat down with him, and he gave me some really good advice. And I got to spend the day in the big room at Real World. I had Will Gregory from Goldfrapp, and Adrian Utley from Portishead, and like producer Ethan Johns happened to be tracking in the next room and just like popped over, and like it was the coolest.
And the documentary kind of brought you into all that.
Yeah. I wouldn't have done any of this if it wasn't for this documentary. So it's been a very cool process. Peter doesn't have those three units anymore, and he had reached out to a few people on my behalf trying to figure out maybe what happened to those units from 1980. And one of those people that we haven't gotten total confirmation from, but may have had one, and I just heard he was just talking about is Brian Eno. So I'm trying to figure out a way to get to him to see if he had one. So I'm putting, that's why I'm here today.
Putting it out there.
Yeah. And then the other guy that I did get confirmation from was John Anderson of Yes. He had one at one point. I don't know if he still does, and I don't know if he got his from Peter, but I think he did. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's my jam, and I just finished a Kickstarter campaign Monday to get finishing funds for the documentary. I'm still fundraising. I'm just trying to finish the documentary and also figure out what the next step is for this project. I think it would be really cool to get a software version of the resonator out there on the market, and I think it would also be cool to do like a semi-modular unit. I also think it would be cool to reproduce originals. I just have no idea what that will take. I mean, I'm looking into it, but it seems like if I do, it'll be a very short run. So I want to play another song before we dig into everything. This was a song that after the resonator was resurrected, I have toured for 6 years with this wonderful musician, Grace Potter, and so I resurrected the resonator, and I gave it to the first person that I knew could do something with it. And David Bowie had just died, and she decided to do a beautiful tribute song to him. Our favorite song from David Bowie's collection is actually from The Labyrinth, which is As the World Falls Down. And it's not like that big of a David Bowie song, but like I love it so much. And every night, basically, when we would get off tour after the show, we'd get on the bus, make a bunch of spaghetti, and watch The Labyrinth. So she and Eric Valentine, her producer and husband, put this song together, and they used the resonator on it. And it was just a beautiful tribute to both David Bowie and to my dad, because this was the first time that the resonator was being used on anything. Mm-hmm. So that's this song.
And just so you know.
Just so you know, the very first thing that you hear is the resonator, just because it can sound like anything. All right.
As the world falls down. now. We're choosing the path between the stars. I'll live my life between the stars. As the pain creeps through, makes no sense for you. Every thrill has gone, wasn't too much fun at all. But I'll be there for you. As the world falls down, as the world is falling, falling, as the world is falling,
falling.
he might be the perfect person for this project. Mm-hmm. And so I got in touch with him through a friend of a friend, and he said, yeah. And so I set up a demo with him, and we had so much fun. Like, we started with guitar, we did a little bit of bass, and then he started doing like a stand-up with the microphone, and it just, you know, it sounded like total chaos.
Yeah.
And it was really funny, and then, but the best thing that he did was we pulled a snare drum, and he just was hitting the snare drum, and it was making the coolest sounds.
Yeah. So it's a really engaging synth, you know, and it's interesting and it holds your attention, but it's not crazily intimidating either, you know, it's approachable. You know?
Some might say it's approachable. I mean, I've definitely taken it to some people that are just like,
let's take some time.
I don't have time for this. But I don't want those people.
Yeah.
Fuck those people. But yeah, like, do you remember the first time I took it to you? Like, it wasn't this instant gratification thing. I mean, kind of was. I don't know. What do you?
You're determined to see what you can do with it, and it's something that you've never seen, and there's two of them, and that's already like, all right. I want to play this thing. I want to be one of the people that get to play this beautiful thing that has this incredible story, by the way, to it. And it's a very romantic thing to play because it's so rare. And it's like, I want to see what it does. And, you know, maybe it doesn't hop to attention right away, but just give it a little love, you know. We know what synthesizers are like. Sometimes you need to poke them a little. Yeah. I mean, at least I do. I'm not like prodigious on a synth because it takes me a little while to get into them, and I guess a lot of people are like that. So it's, you just have to be patient with it, but it's a lot of fun, you know? And it's just, there's this whole kind of gatekeeping mentality that should not come with synthesis. It should be more welcoming, and, you know, and it's good to just bring it to people and like, play me. It's great. And you just have to go into it with a little bit of patience.
Yeah. So, I never know what's going to happen when I turn it on.
Yeah,
and
that's
like
true.
You know, sometimes I'll turn it on, and like in the early stages, I didn't know what was happening. Like I know now, I know better what the knobs are and like what how to troubleshoot it a little bit.
Yeah.
But like,
it's still really mysterious.
Yeah.
Though.
And didn't you just find something new?
Yeah. But didn't you just find the
user manual?
The user manual.
So I've had this resurrected for 4 years, and every time somebody takes it, they're like, "Is there a user manual?" I'm like, "I wish." And I found it. It was in my grandma's basement. So yeah, that's exciting. And I haven't really tapped into it yet. Like I have to send it to you. You have to figure it out.
Whole other dimension.
Yeah. I know there is. But yeah, it definitely has its own character. I brought this, I don't know if I can find the quote, but a big reason why this whole project started was because I was out on tour with Grace, obviously, but because she's from Vermont, she does a lot of stuff with like Mike Gordon from Fish and the other guys, but Mike is really into synths too, and so I was having a conversation with him, and he has this like crazy light show for his solo stuff, and I was talking to him about this performance piece that my dad did back in like 1974, where it was his thesis for his master's, and he was, I know this sounds crazy, I found the article to back it up, but he was manipulating the lights and the sounds of the auditorium with his thoughts. And I was telling him that, and Mike was like, what? Who was your dad? I was like, he was like this guy from Indiana, but he was really, you know, he was a nerd. and just like really into computer uses for music and art, and that's where that's where the Resonator was birthed, was he was a musician, and he just wanted to expand his ability and make something that he could play. And nobody, you know, I have one recording of him playing it from 1980, and that's it. But nobody could play it like he could. That audio is amazing. He was using a guitar through the Rackmore Resonator and using a bunch of pedals, and seamlessly going from trumpet to oboe to bassoon to tuba to piccolo and flute, and then making wormy synthy sounds too, but like in a matter of seconds, and like nobody's been able to pull those sounds out like he did. But maybe with the user manual that'll help.
Mm-hmm.
But
I love the user manual.
So let's make some sounds.
Make some sounds?
It. Yeah.
So it is gonna
It's gonna be loud. So this is
Let me just explain what's happening. It's just running the 808 through this, but I'll just play for you, see what you think it's doing.
No bass drum.
does stuff like that.
Yeah, it's interesting because like when it does different things with, you know, whatever you run through it, then but with this, it just kind of latches on to different things differently, like with the hi-hat. That's, I think that's what's causing the thing is going on. So, and then it just really, you can get it to where it's just playing a really low, gnarly bass tone, just from this synth running through this synth. So it's really lovely, but it has things on there, when you guys look at it, that you've probably never heard the terminology for, and Don Tavlo came up with all of these components and this terminology, like
a timbral image modulator.
Yeah, this. I mean, these are basically kind of.
There's a couple of organic shapes, but then there's a couple of inorganic shapes, and then I think he combined like shape one plus shape three looks like this, and this is shape six. And he had obviously reasons. He wrote an entire AES paper based on those on the timbral image.
What's the FXO again?
Effects oscillator.
Effects oscillator.
Yeah, and then FM synthesis, which was, or no, sorry, CM synthesis, which was supposed to stand for complex modulation.
Right.
And even Mike Beagle from Mutron, the engineer that did this, he didn't really understand what that was or what Don was trying to do. But I just know that when you switch to CM, it just everything goes weird.
Yeah, it's usually CM.
Yeah. But.
Yeah,
Tara has been able to pull some really beautiful sounds out of it, and she is in a band called I Speak Machine, which obviously we're at Synflex, so everybody knows who she is. And she is my hero. Like,
oh, geez.
So I can say something, right? So Tara has a Patreon account for I Speak Machine, and every month she releases a new cover. So she's done Sound of Silence, which is my all-time favorite cover that I've ever heard, ever, and we're going to play it. And then he did Cars.
Yeah, Sound of Silence, Cars, Ticket to Ride, and then we're just about to release a really nasty version of War Pigs.
That's so good.
Because I was somehow inspired to do that. And, and then the one after that, which is going to be May, is just Resonator and 808.
And
me singing. And it was just, you know, a great experience to be able to use this thing on a song. But it was so tuneful and inspiring to use. I just love it. So, and that's going to be, I'm not supposed to say, because I'm supposed to let Patreon people in first. But it's going to be a Beach Boys cover. But that's about all I can say right now. But a very weird Beach Boys cover. But, and then we're going to do something special with the Resonator for this month, and another Synflex special information is we're going to do a sample pack as well, a Resonator sample pack, so it's going to be pretty badass. And so, yeah, so we just kicked off this Patreon in January, and it's going really well, because my counterpart to I Speak Machine, Matt Lewis, who is the visual side of it, we thought that just our moms were going to sign up for it. And Patreon's a weird thing because it's not this big, explosive campaign like Pledge Music or Kickstarter even. It's something that's kind of got a slow drip to it, you know, and people come into it little by little. Like in the beginning you'll get, you know, a big hit, but then, you know, people are kind of like, I don't know if I'm going to do it, and they kind of come into it. But it's actually been really cool, and it's been a really good way to, you know, if you're like me and you do music and you need some sort of framework and discipline to get your ass into having some sort of schedule and getting things done, and in tandem with my own music and my own work that I do, doing a cover every month as well, I've had to restrict myself to 10 days to get it done, which did not work for War Pigs. That took me a long fucking time to do that. So, but just having a framework so you can break it's kind of good too. But working with Allison with the Resonator and putting that in conjunction, cross-pollinating, if you will, the Ice Cream Machine Patreon with her Kickstarter and the whole story behind that, and it was just kind of kismet, really, that we're neighbors and,
yeah, it's been working out great.
She's, and we've named it Albert, by the way.
Yeah.
So she will text me, do you want me to bring Albert over?
Yeah.
And Albert's coming,
Because we've got two now. We've got my original, and then we have the one that that we built from spare parts. Was actually three. So one original and then two new ones. And we need names to differentiate. Yeah.
You guys name your synths, don't you?
Yeah. So let's play Sound of Silence, can't we?
Yeah, I love listening to my own music.
Yeah. I love listening to my own voice, so this whole thing is perfect.
Oh, it's great. Okay. Please play it, play it.
The resonator. It was from my time when I went to Columbia. Like 2 years ago, I was going down to Columbia to go to a Rolling Stones show because Grace had opened up for them, and I was on tour and like wormed my way into their like, dressing rooms and like meet me. And they were really nice, and they were always, you know, if you guys ever want to come to shows, like let us know. And I was like, well, I want to go to this show, this show, this show, this show. And I'd never been to Columbia before, so I figured this is the perfect excuse. And so I like booked a single ticket, and I was just gonna go to the Stone show and hang out in Bogota. And 2 weeks before I left, my friend had just come back from Bogota. And I was like, oh man, let me know what bars to hit up, what restaurants, if you know anybody that's local that can take me around or whatever. And he was like, there's this synth guru living in the jungle in Minca. Like, maybe you should reach out to him. And I'm like, okay. So I found him on Facebook, and we had a mutual friend. His name was Christian Castaño. He's this guy from Brooklyn who used to work at Seer Sound. Is that right? Everybody? Walter Sears place? And he's got this incredible synth knowledge and got married and moved to the jungle in Colombia because he was like, materialism is not my thing and I want to move to the jungle. And so I was like, this is my guy. So I 2 weeks before, I talked to him on the phone and he was like, well, you should just bring your resonator to Colombia. And so my single ticket like turned into, I got to fly a film crew down here, and the resonator broke the night, 2 nights before we were supposed to leave, so I was just like in total panic mode. And then when I was going through customs, everybody thought I was a DJ, because I was like, I don't have like a work visa, and I'm with a film crew.
No.
And then everybody was like, DJ? I'm like, yeah. So we got down there, and Christian, yeah, we like trekked up this mountain, the Sierra Nevada mountains, and went to Minca and stayed with him and his family, around the corner from him and his family, and he just instantly pulled sounds out of this thing that I'd never heard before, and he is kind of like, not the only producer, but he's like the most well-known producer there by far, for sure. Like, he just could call up all these people. And there was a local band called Sistema Solar, and they immediately came over. They brought like a 10, you know, or like a 30 pound fish that they'd just caught and a bunch of beers, and they were like, let's play the resonator. I was like, this is the coolest day of my life. And so they had a demo called Que Paso that they were working on, and in the studio, they didn't have a bass when they were making the demo. And so he was just doing the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do with his voice, just to kind of put something down. And then when we were playing with the resonator, he was like, oh man, what if I ran that vocal stem from the demo through the resonator and actually made a bass sound? And we started doing that, and it was cool, and then he was like, oh no, no, I'm just gonna do it live. So we plugged a microphone into it, and he did the bass sound live. And it was really cool, and like, the bass sound in the song Que Paso is the resonator, but there's all these other weird textures and stuff that's also the resonator. So let's just play that real fast, and then we'll do another resonator demo. So this is, oh yeah.